All right, back on the Young Turks. Anna and Cenk with you guys. Michael Ritchie writes in, how close are they to 70 times now? We're talking about the Obamacare repeal. Go ahead and try to repeal ACA again. People are already out in the streets yelling no. Do you know that Obamacare is now polling at 61%? That's as popular as Bernie Sanders. 61% ain't no joke. The Republicans are so stupid and so heinous that they made Obamacare popular. Thank you very much. You want to repeal pre-existing conditions that has over a 70% approval rating? Come and see. Come and see. Give it a shot. See how it turns out. Okay. The only problem is that you know the Democrats, they could bungle anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you had real good political instincts running against those Republicans, you would maul them. There'd be a tsunami in 2018. Okay. Joshua Kaipo Bader says it's almost like they made a bet. How much can we screw the American people in the first 100 days? Okay. The Mad Lib says, fuck ESPN, TYT Sports. I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying. Okay.
I don't like Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Any opportunity to talk about how much I dislike Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to talk about it now.
God bless. Ankar writes in, it's so great watching the collapse of the establishment live. Now let's make the world a better place. I hear you on that, brother. And by the way, Matthew Kearns wrote in Super Chat for yesterday, $10 for TYT going into overtime. So thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Now, donors real quick, $27 from Anushree from Connecticut, $27 from Marie Louise in Iowa. Love you guys. $50 from Dale in Virginia, $100 from Gordon in Hawaii, $250 from Allison in Massachusetts, $500 from Dana in North Carolina. Hey, the politicians love their big donors, we love our small donors. So you guys give us money and we love you forever. Let me see where tytnetwork.com/go is at. 1773. Guys, we got to get to 2. We got to get to 2. This is over. It's over in a couple of days. Only 3-4 days left now. And then you're going to miss it. You're going to miss all the fun and the extra shows that go along with it. So for all of us together, let's get to 2 and hire the last person, make it an even dozen. Okay, Anna, what's next?
All right. Ann Coulter has pulled out of her speech at UC Berkeley. And there is a lot of context and background to this story. Now, she was initially scheduled to speak on April 27th, this Thursday. However, administrators and officials at the campus decided that that was a bad idea and they would have to reschedule to May 2nd because they didn't have a proper venue on campus available to ensure that there would be enough safety. Now, of course, there have already been threats of protest because people don't want to hear her speak. They believe that her speech is hateful, which, by the way, I agree with. She has questionable speech, to say the least. But nonetheless, it is a public college campus that is funded by taxpayer money. And this school does have an obligation, a constitutional obligation, to allow her to speak. Now, she did not want to speak on May 2nd. And the reason why is because that is referred to as RRR week at Berkeley. That's the week before finals where students don't have class. And so her concern was, my guess, I don't want to speak on that day because no one's going to be on campus, which I think is a legitimate concern. Now, I also think it's a legitimate concern to make sure that it's a safe environment, and there have been instances of violence while these protests have taken place in the past. And so look, here's my argument. The threats of violence shouldn't even exist, right? The reason why she's not able to speak on the 27th is because they're worried about security. They're worried about people doing something violent and people getting hurt. And so it's a legitimate concern, but it's super frustrating that it has to be a concern. Who cares if she has stupid things to say? Let her speak at an empty auditorium. This is leading to more attention that she shouldn't be getting.
So I don't quite believe the administration when they say, oh no, we moved it to the week where there's no classes, because then more people could attend if they wanted to. They didn't even say, they didn't even have the nerve to say more people could attend. They were just like, no, it's fine, it's fine. You know, less classes could mean that more opportunity, and not, and they should be busy studying for finals and on campus anyway. Yeah, no, they moved it so that it would be less people on campus. I get that, right? But that's not the only reason Ann Coulter objects to it. She also objects to it because Objecting to it creates more conflict. And she loves conflict.
Right.
She bathes in conflict, and that's her whole thing. And that's part of why we're so frustrated with the people protesting, these Nemos and Coulters and etc., because you're giving them what they want.
Yeah.
They want attention. Now every newspaper in the country is writing about Ann Coulter, and she thinks, thank you, anarchist of Berkeley, for giving me all of this free publicity and making me out to be a victim and a hero of free
speech. Yeah, and
they
love making themselves out to be victims. Okay, so let me be absolutely clear about everything involving this story, because there are all these nuances and caveats, and so I want to make sure everything is represented appropriately. Now, she was invited to speak by Republicans on campus, okay, a Republican organization on campus, along with a nonpartisan organization on campus. So there were two organizations on campus that wanted to hear her speak. They invited her, okay? So a liberal viewpoint is not the only viewpoint that's represented or should be represented on that campus, okay? There are diverse groups, and if they want to invite someone to come speak, they want to hear her speak, she should be able to speak. I don't like her. I can't stand her. I have no love for her whatsoever. But that doesn't mean that my preferences should dictate who is or and is not allowed to speak on a college campus. Now, Coulter said Wednesday, graphic four, Coulter said Wednesday that she is canceling her planned speech because she had lost the backing of conservative groups that had initially sponsored her appearance. Now, they ended up pulling out because they were also concerned about the safety of individuals who would either go see her speak, the safety of Ann Coulter, and, you know, the concern that the protest could erupt in some sort of violence. Now, Young America's foundation will not jeopardize the safety of its staff or students. That was a statement from them. Also, the Berkeley College Republicans, which invited Ms. Coulter and was supposed to sponsor her visit, also backed out and joined Young America's foundation in saying the atmosphere had grown too hostile.
Let me step in there, because Young America's foundation is perfectly happy with Ann Coulter's speech. They finance it in a lot of ways, and they support her. Those Berkeley College Republicans love to stir up trouble and are happy to do all this. So why do they even pull out? My guess is, and this is not in the stories, but my guess is that when Ann Coulter said, hey, I'll just do it in Sproul Plaza, in the middle of everyone where you can't possibly have enough security, so we do know that part. I think that they probably thought, oh, just to get more publicity, you're willing to endanger all those people's well-being, including our staff? No, then we're not going to back you, Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
We were ready to back you, and we were ready to do all these lawsuits. And if you know, if you want to sue them and get a better speaking spot, et cetera, we're on your side. But you want to endanger everybody's safety so you can grab a couple more spotlights? No, we're out. Maybe I'm being too kind to those conservative organizations, but that's my best guess as to why even they pulled out from supporting Coulter.
Well, that was my read of it as well. And so I want everyone to understand that I'm not backing Coulter because I support her in any way. I want you to understand that I know what her agenda is. You guys know what her agenda is. It's not really about valuing free speech. It's not really about, you know, sharing her ideas and her perspectives. It's about doing anything necessary to be in the headlines, to get the attention that she craves so desperately. This is a strategy. It was a strategy by Milo. It's a strategy by her, and it will continue to be a strategy by conservatives. So we need to be smarter in responding to that strategy. Instead of giving them exactly what they want, which is the attention and the headlines, we need to ignore them. If you want to protest, that's fine. Make sure it doesn't erupt into violence, because if it does, then they can go ahead and say, oh, liberals aren't for free speech. We need to pull government funding from these institutions, right?
Yeah.
Just let her speak and just ignore her. The only reason why she's relevant is because people make her relevant.
Yeah, look, you want to protest Donald Trump, he's the president of the United States. That makes a lot of sense. We got to do that, right? Because he actually has power. I wouldn't even protest Coulter and Nemo. Because if you don't, only three people will show up. They're not remotely popular. And so you're making them into much bigger deals. So it's a terrible political strategy. That's number one. Okay, number two is you're wrong on the substance. Look, I know it's frustrating. So, for example, Anna had a big speech in Colorado pulled by the board of that university. They're rich, they're conservative. And they didn't want a liberal like Anna to speak. So they just pulled her. They said, oh, she's against Trump voters. Yeah, who do you think? Ann Coulter says that she's against the browning of America. She's against all brown people, perfectly fine. Let's give her a lot of money to speak at Berkeley, right? Liberals say, hey, maybe we've got an issue with Trump. No, pull the speech. Is that frustrating? Yes. So they have state power oftentimes. In that case, they have institutional power, right? And they do that in the middle of the night and nobody does a protest over it, and that's that. So do we get that it's frustrating? Yes, it affects us.
Yeah.
We're super frustrated by that. But the correct answer to that is not violence. So you gotta let her speak, let the 3.5 knuckleheads in their bow ties and go listen to her and and do whatever they do, okay? But when you threaten violence, you lose the moral high ground. Not threaten. There's been violence at those at that campus. And by the way, it's very, very likely not Berkeley students. Yes, it's more likely to be Black Bloc and anarchists, etc., that are in the area, right? So don't put it on Berkeley students. But whoever it is that's doing it, totally against it, because you don't prove anything by it. It's immoral to begin with, and it's look. I'll go further. I think it's un-American, because the third part of it is, you're not going to lose a debate to Ann Coulter.
Right.
So she just says, oh yeah, brown people suck, white people are awesome. Yeah, we beat the Nazis, it's okay, we'll beat her too. And all she has is a microphone, and you only make her microphone larger by doing ridiculous things.
Yeah.
It's like she almost couldn't pay you to get her better publicity, right? So if all she had was her stupid, antiquated, racist ideas, she would just drift into the dustbin of history where she belongs.
Also, let me give you guys a quick example, right? Where's Milo, right? And I wouldn't talk about him on the show before because he desperately wanted the attention, but now he's gone. Like, no one talks about him, he's gone. Why? Because he basically kicked himself in the ass, right? He talked about how pedophilia is okay in gay relationships on a podcast, and his own speech essentially made him irrelevant, right? People kind of woke up and realized what kind of person he was. Gone, he's gone. He's not making a ton of money writing a book anymore. He's not getting the support that he was getting before. So basically what I'm saying is, if someone is hateful, believe it or not, that hate speech is protected by the First Amendment, okay? And if an institution is receiving government money, they are a public institution and they have a constitutional obligation to allow that person to speak. Let her speak and let her get herself into the trouble that we know she's gonna get herself into.
Okay, last two things. One's about Nemo.
Why do you keep calling him Nemo?
Because I don't wanna give him any more attention. Yeah. And half the time they'll Google Nemo. Okay, anyway, so I told you he has no audience. I told you, right? So they pretend to be huge, and then when you protest them, they seem like they're bigger. But it turns out when people pulled his book deal and he's off of Twitter, well, okay, if you had a huge audience, it wouldn't make a difference. He'd be on YouTube, he'd be on Facebook, and everybody would be watching him and hearing him and be like, oh wow, well, let's share his ideas. Those are really interesting. Let's share his videos. Let's share his articles. Where are you, Nemo? I can't find you. Right? That's because he never, ever had an audience to begin with. It's 7.5 hateful dudes that spend most of the time masturbating in the basement, okay? So once you expose that, he's got nothing left. Just keep ignoring him. And lastly, on Ann Coulter, I debated her, right?
Yep.
So all she does, if you actually have a free exchange of ideas, is embarrass herself. Go watch it on YouTube. You almost want to avert your eyes at times when she says that stupid, outrageous things. But more importantly, she, in the beginning of the debate, almost accidentally admitted that it's just entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's what I was driving at. Do you really mean it?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you possibly mean these outrageous things? Or is this to get attention? And she said something to the effect of, why do you guys take it so seriously? So it is entertainment. It's all one giant shtick. So,
and it's made her wealthy, right? And so what you need to do is not play into that and do not give her what she wants. I get it. She says things that are offensive and it hurts people's feelings. But the reality is, whether you're on a college campus or out there in the real world, you're going to run across so many assholes, so many dicks, and so many people who are going to offend you. You don't have the ability to stop them from speaking.
Yeah. So Alex Jones and Coulter, all performance artists. Let them do their performance art. And when no one shows up, then they'll be gone. That's a much better way to go about it. Let's go. Come on. We're the good guys. We believe in nonviolence and we believe in the First Amendment. Act like it. Okay. Yes. All right. What's next?
All right. The FCC has made its proposal to take the initial steps to do away with net neutrality. Now, Ajit Pai, who is the head of the FCC and also a very, very strong conservative who's very much against any regulation that protects the consumer, is the person spearheading this proposal. And it would undo the 2015 rules that implemented net neutrality with Title II classifications. So Title II classification is really important because it leads to more oversight to ensure that internet service providers don't do anything shady when it comes to slowing down the speeds of some sites or blocking sites that might not agree with their business model, things like that. So strong net neutrality rules were passed in 2015. Those rules reclassified internet providers as common carriers under Title II of the Telecommunications Act, which subject them to tough utility style regulation. So first, if you do away with the regulations that were implemented in 2015, it'll reclassify internet providers as Title I information services. Second, it'll prevent the FCC from adapting any net neutrality rules to practices that internet providers haven't thought up yet. And third, it opens questions about what to do with several key net neutrality rules, like no blocking or throttling of apps and websites that were implemented in 2015. So this is a very, very bad sign. The FCC is set to vote on this on May 18th. And it's important for us to resist this as much as possible, because if internet service providers get their way and net neutrality is done away with, well, there are certain sites that are really gonna suffer. And you know, they're doing this under the guise of, oh, we wanna protect small businesses. How does this protect small businesses? If anything, this actually harms small businesses. If you're not a giant like Netflix or Google and you don't have the money or the connections to find loopholes or work along with something like, you know, no net neutrality, then what are you gonna do, right? If you're an up and coming media organization and you're criticizing some of these major corporations, what are you gonna do?
And by the way, that also applies to Breitbart, that applies to almost every right-wing blog there is. And if you think Verizon and AT&T are gonna look after you out of the goodness of their hearts, you don't understand capitalism at all. Stop embarrassing yourself and calling yourself a conservative. So in this case, Google and Facebook actually happen to be the good guys and they might ride to the rescue. I'll explain that in a second. But I think that net neutrality is the second most important issue in America. I think getting money out of politics so that our politicians don't do this in the first place is the number one issue. But then net neutrality is second because it affects all other issues. Because the only avenue that both the right and the left have to actually fight against the establishment is the internet. And so if the establishment and multi-billion dollar national corporations, multinational corporations grab control of the internet, well, yeah, they could do all the things that that Ajit Pai would now allow them to do. They could block your app or website. Sad day for you. Oh, it just couldn't make it through my ISP. Well, so it exists. It's just that those customers can't get access to it. They could slow it down completely. They can create fast lanes for themselves. No, we didn't slow yours down so much. Ours is just much faster. So they come to us instead of you.
Right. And also keep in mind that, you know, there are huge conglomerates, there are, you know, internet service providers that have essentially purchased media organizations. And so, I don't know, maybe there's a competitor and they don't want that competitor to actually compete in a free market against the media organization that they've acquired. So why wouldn't they slow down the speeds for the competitors? This is a nightmare, right? Because anyone who would want to speak truth to power could be victimized by a lack of net neutrality. And so we want a free flow of ideas, we want a free marketplace of ideas. And if you do away with net neutrality, there is no guarantee. And in fact, the only guarantee we have is that people will not receive the information necessary to be informed members of a democratic system. And that's why this is a huge problem.
And did you know that 73% of locations in the country have only one broadband provider? So that's called a monopoly.
That's insane.
So there's nothing you can do about it. You say, hey, I don't like Verizon in your neck of the woods if it's Verizon. slowing down the conservative websites and blocking certain apps. So I'm going to go with someone else. Sad day for you. You can't go with anybody else. It's a monopoly. Adam Smith warned us about monopolies when he explained capitalism all those hundreds of years ago. It's the first thing you think of when you're, if you're true, by the way, conservative intellectual, is you're worried about monopolies because that they kill free markets. The 24% of the country is duopoly. You only have two options. Okay. That means 97% of the country, you only either have one or two options. Now, this Ajit Pai guy is so intellectually dishonest. So he's dishonest in every way imaginable. First of all, did you know that he's a former Verizon lawyer?
Oh.
What a wonderful coincidence that he now is setting the rules for Verizon. But that's not going to bias him at all.
Just a coy gig. That's it.
Yeah. So he says in another rule that they just announced where they allow the broadband companies against the hike rates, so that would make the broadband much more expensive for libraries and schools and so many different places.
Yeah, no, I gotta jump in there because okay. It's so let me give you all the details with the proper wording, okay? And Vice reported on this. They said the FCC voted to approve a controversial plan to deregulate the $45 billion market for business-to-business broadband, also known as business data services, by eliminating price caps that make internet access more affordable for thousands of small businesses, schools, libraries, and hospitals. The price caps, which have been in place for years, are designed to protect small businesses and other community institutions from predatory behavior by monopoly broadband providers like AT&T and Verizon. So look, these price caps are super important when you consider the fact that most people are dealing with this monopoly, right? I'm dealing with it. I have no option other than Spectrum. Spectrum treats me like crap, right? They charge way too much for insanely slow and shitty internet service. But what am I going to do about it? That's the only provider that I can have. And so think about the cost that this will have on small businesses that need, you know, fast internet connection, you know, more than I do, or these schools and libraries. It's just a nightmare. And when Ajit Pai says, "Oh, I'm worried about the small businesses," intellectually dishonest is the perfect way to put it.
So lying about the small businesses does the exact opposite. Second of all, he says they changed the rule in a way that they say, no, it's not monopoly because in a lot of these cases, another provider is half a mile away. So let's just game plan, just play this out so you understand what he's talking about. Let's say you have AT&T and he's like, no, but Verizon's half a mile away. Okay, great, can I get Verizon instead? No, they're not in your area, they're half a mile away. Wait, so then it's a monopoly. AT&T is the only one I can go to in that case. No, but Verizon's half a mile away. I know, so can I get Verizon? No, you can't get Verizon. Well, then it's a monopoly. Nope, it's not because Verizon's half a mile away. But I can't get Verizon, right? And I can't get anything else. So how unbelievably dishonest are you that they put it in there? So it's okay, it's not a monopoly. They're half a mile away, you can't get them. But they're, you know, close to you. So these are the tricks that they're playing. And so is it to help the broadband providers that he used to be a paid
employee of?
Yeah, of course it is. Of course, that's the whole point of this. So and then finally, why might Google and Facebook be the heroes here? There are two groups that are opposing them other than regular citizens. The Internet Association, and that represents 40 of the top internet companies, Google, Facebook, Netflix, etc. And they're saying no. Actually, as Anna points out, it could help Google and Facebook if this went through because they're
right.
So large that they could pay the ransom,
mm-hmm.
Right? And for anyone who isn't large enough to pay the ransom, all their competition would get wiped out. But and so that's why they thought long and hard before they decided to be in favor of net neutrality. It was a close call, but they came out on the right side. And once they said, okay, we're for net neutrality, Obama was like, oh yeah, after thinking about it for a while and a week after Google and Facebook announced, I've decided that since a lot of my funders are in Silicon Valley, I mean, because I care about all the people who sent me signatures, I will decide that I'm for net neutrality. So Google and Facebook in a lot of ways saved the internet when they did that. They gotta stay on our side. If they're not on our side, we're all screwed because all these politicians care about is their donors. And then another group is called a Y Combinator. So that's why I tell you guys, you know, we get upset when the rich get too many tax cuts and corporations get too many tax cuts, and that's not just. But I always tell you, don't be blanket against rich people or corporations as a thing, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want them to have unfair advantages. What is the Y Combinator? It's a group of 800 startups and investors, yes, wealthy people, who are saying, no, wait a minute. We invested in the internet as it is. You don't get to change the rules later and go, ha ha, all your small businesses that you invested into, or even large businesses you invest into, we just screwed them because we're crony capitalists. Verizon and AT&T and the broadband providers are larger, and they paid me a larger bribe. I mean, political donation, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to change all the rules, and I'm going to make sure your businesses get wiped out in favor of the crony capitalism of supporting the broadband providers. So these investors are like, no, no, we don't agree to that. So in this case, Y Combinator and the Internet Association are huge heroes. Yes. That combined with, we must do resistance. Left, right, middle, it doesn't matter. If you love the internet, you got to protect the internet. They're coming for it. And one last piece of preposterous excuse from Ajit Pai, who is one of the most dangerous guys in America.
Yeah.
Doesn't believe in
freedom. I wish he would just shut his pie hole.
Okay. is he said, oh, no, no, no. If these broadband providers can't make more money, then they would run out of money, so they couldn't provide enough broadband to poor and minority areas. You know what that means? We're holding them hostage. If you don't give us what we want, we're going to cut access to poor and minority areas.
And also,
that is so sick.
And it's also very clear that he doesn't genuinely care about poor minority areas or rural areas in America, especially when you consider how the FCC voted to eliminate those price caps that protected people living in rural places in the United States. He's, again, intellectually dishonest, and we fought and won on the issue of net neutrality in the past. It's unfortunate that we have to continue fighting, because as soon as we stop paying attention, they try to pull this kind of stuff. But we got to fight again, and we have to win again, because the great thing about the internet is it democratizes, you know, information. It mobilizes people. It's a very powerful tool. You guys know that. So that's the good part of the internet. And then there's a lot of bad stuff that comes along with the internet as well. You get rid of the good stuff, I mean, what good is the internet?
Yeah.
Right?
And one last thing. Look, I don't even blame AT&T and Verizon and all the broadband providers for doing it. They're a company. They want to maximize profit. If you kill all your competition and get an unfair advantage, that's a great way of maximizing profit. If you buy off corrupt politicians, it's a great way of maximizing profit. So they are rational actors. We should also be rational actors and not allow them to legally bribe all of our politicians. So that's why I'm in favor of getting money out of politics. Because if you don't do wolf-pack.com or any other way of getting money out of politics, well, of course they're going to buy the politicians and do crony capitalism. It's the most obvious thing in the world. So we got to stop it, and we got to fight back. And if you don't, you're going to lose the internet. You're going to wake up one day and your freedom's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to take a quick break. Do you want to not take any breaks?
I don't want to take any breaks. I just want to do
God
the story.
Bless. God bless.
Okay,
keep going.
All right. Trump has ordered a review of national monuments in order to see whether or not it makes sense to allow development and drilling on these lands. Now, this would be a nightmare, and it's very clear that Trump has absolutely no regard for environmentalists or environmental concerns. And so he did sign an executive order to allow national monument designations to be rescinded or reduce the size of sites as the administration pushes to open up more federal land to drilling, mining, and other development. He said, today we're putting the states back in charge, adding that they should decide which land is protected and which is open for development. Now, this is relevant, especially when you consider the fact that in Utah, the governor of Utah specifically was annoyed with President Obama after he had created national monuments in his state. He wanted to use that land for drilling and whatever. And so we'll see how this goes, because it's untested, it's unprecedented, right? And so it's likely that there will be challenges along the way if Trump's administration wants to rescind some of these national monuments. But Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke told reporters the order The order requires him to review about 30 national monuments created over the past two decades and recommend which designation should be lifted or altered.
So when I first read the headline, I thought this was in reference to the story we've been covering about how they're taking down some of the Civil War monuments from across the South. I was like, Trump's going to do something good?
No.
Wow, that's amazing.
Fooled.
And of course, no, the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. So again, this is one that where he should be a little bit careful. So come and see how this turns out politically. So they wanted to sell off public lands before, mm-hmm. and they made this bold proposal to sell off huge stretches of public land. And you know who got really, really pissed? Conservative voters in places like Utah and Montana.
That's right.
And there was a revolt. And they're like, we hunt in those lands, we fish in those lands. That's public land, that's my land, okay? And Trump was like, well, I'm going to hand it over to my rich friends who donated to me. They're like, no, you're not. And then it was such a revolt that even Chaffetz, who is a deeply right-wing congressman from Utah, was like, did I say I was going to give away all of your land so we could all make more money and my donors can get rich? I'm a hunter. When he retracted it, he did it with a picture of himself in a goofy camouflage outfit and a rifle. Like, oh, don't worry, I'm a hunter too. Okay, so whether you're a liberal or a conservative, let them hear your roar. Because what they're going to do is they're going to try to take away some of the most precious land in America and drill, baby, drill. So yep. If you're in favor of drilling and you don't care about, you don't believe in climate change, etc., you do it on the land that's already given for that purpose, that mm-hmm. is already doing it. I don't agree with that, but I understand it. And there's plenty of places to drill without drilling on top of the most precious public lands that we have in America, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, are we going to get our fair share since it's our land? You know we're not. What did you think was going to happen when Trump put the CEO of ExxonMobil as our Secretary of State? Now, Secretary of State not as relevant internally, obviously, but it's this message that no, we're going to give the energy companies everything they want, and if they got to take your monuments to do it, they'll do it.
Right. And look, just to show you how much money talks and plays a role in the decisions that are being made right now in regard to these national monuments and our environment, Reuters had mentioned that Utah Governor Gary Herbert and Senators Mike Lee and Orrin Hatch, all Republicans, stood beside Trump as he signed the order. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because if you look into the major funders for the senators, Mike Lee and Orrin Hatch, it's the real estate industry and also oil and gas. Huh. So from 2011 to 2016 for Senator Orrin Hatch, his sixth biggest donor was the real estate industry. They spent about $445,500 on him, and also the oil and gas company $441,250 on him.
This seems like they got themselves a good prostitute.
No, but here's the amazing thing though. The real estate industry is the sixth largest, you know, donors for Orrin Hatch. They gave him almost $500,000, sixth largest donor. I mean, think about all the other donors that have given more, right? And so for Orrin Hatch, it's mostly those in the financial industry and things like that. But they're not looking out for us. They're not looking out for our well-being or public lands or our safety or the environment. They don't care about any of that stuff, okay? Like Orrin Hatch, like he looks like he's the crypt keeper. He's been in office since the freaking 70s, right? He doesn't care about the environment. He's looking to make money, make it rain on them hoes, and then get out of there. That's all he cares about. We need to get money out of politics. This is insane.
By the way, his son's a lobbyist. They profit off of that as well. It just keeps getting more and more money for the Hatch family. But the establishment media tells us, no, these are honorable gentlemen. $500,000 wouldn't affect them at all. Huge salaries for their family members wouldn't affect them at all. How dare you besmirch their reputation, you radicals. Yes, I am here to say that I agree with 93% of Americans that these guys work for their donors and not for us, the voters. That is super obvious. And by the way, for those donors, it is a super good investment. You give $500,000 to guys like Orrin Hatch and you spread that money around a little bit, and then they give you contracts and the ability to drill on land, that's going to make you millions, maybe billions of dollars. That's a great return on investment. We're the suckers for allowing this dirty, corrupt system to exist in the first place. Wolf-pack.com, get the money out of politics right now, not later, right now. One last thing, to be fair, the prostitutes across the country, at least they sell something they have. Orrin Hatch sells something you have.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's keep going.
All right. There's a little bit of drama involving the sweatshops that make Ivanka Trump's products. Now, her clothing line has been in the middle of a lot of controversial headlines. However, there was an audit of the factory that manufactures her clothing line, and apparently they are breaking a bunch of laws and violating some of the rights of the workers. Now, inspectors with the Fair Labor Association found dozens of violations of international labor standards during an audit of a factory in China owned by G3 Apparel Group, which owns the rights to manufacture and distribute Ivanka's fashion line. G3 was also recently busted for rebranding Ivanka's clothing line and dumping it on the discount retailer Stein Mart. Now, first of all, this story is relevant for a lot of different reasons, but mostly because of the fact that she continues to be portrayed in the media as this woman who's looking out for workers' rights, for women's rights. You know, she wants you to buy American. How about you make your product in America if you care so much about people buying American, right? She has her factories in China where her clothing is manufactured, and she doesn't even care about those workers. She doesn't care about their rights. She doesn't care about, you know, creating an environment where they can have healthy, happy families. She doesn't care about any of that. The Chinese knitting factory has poor conditions and pay, with workers putting in up to 60 hours a week for wages of about $62 weekly. The factory violated two dozen standards set by the UN International Labor Organization when it was inspected this fall by the Fair Labor Association. Inspectors spent about 2 days touring the facility in October, ultimately determining that workers experienced high turnover, pay at or below China's minimum wage, and excessive work hours. They were also not receiving legally mandated pension, medical, or housing benefits, and received only 5 days of paid leave per year, with some exceptions. Now, look, there are a lot of American companies that use these factories in China that are problematic. There were various stories about Apple doing this, a lot of criticism, and that's totally justified. But here's the thing. You don't see anyone at Apple, you know, getting into politics and talking about how they're so great in protecting women's rights and workers' rights. Ivanka Trump does not care about you, does not care about women, and is certainly not some progressive who's in the administration now trying to, you know, reel Trump in and make sure he does the right thing. She's not even doing the right thing herself.
So I want to give you context on the pay for a second, because we just said it kind of quickly. So I want to remind you of what the math that Jimmy Dore broke down on the show yesterday on the Young Turks extended show. Bill O'Reilly made in his last contract $25 million a year. He got $25 million as a severance package too, which must be nice. Remember when you got fired and got $25 million? Anyway, he made $100,000 a day. $100,000 a day. These workers make $62 not per hour, not per day. Per week, okay? They work a whole week, they get $62, okay? Now, I know it's apples and oranges. I'm just giving you context for how poorly they're paid. Now, I can't believe American workers are paid that poorly. Because Anna, you said Chinese, but it must be American, right? Because I know the Trump family is all about America first. They're gonna bring jobs here. They're not gonna let people outsource the jobs to China. I know Donald Trump said it a million times during the campaign. He's still saying it when he's president. And Ivanka is one of his top advisors. So she can't possibly be making her products in China, Anna, could she?
Except she is, right?
Huh, that's weird. It turns out the Trump family still making products in China and outsourcing all the jobs, because they get to have people work the whole year, almost no leave at all, under brutal conditions, 60 hours a week, and at the end they get $62 a week. And then the Trump family goes, hey, I'm smart, you're the suckers, right? I make them work for next to nothing. I make sure you Americans don't have jobs. I'd have to pay you more. I don't want to pay you more. No, that whole thing about Americans having jobs, it was a gimmick, you suckers. If you're going to bring the jobs back, as Trump said 2 million times during the campaign, why don't you start with your own jobs? If Ivanka Trump has all those jobs for making her products in China, let's start with you first, okay? Just like I say to the suicide bombers, okay? When somebody sends you a suicide belt, you go, hey, that's an interesting idea, but you first, okay? Hey, Trump family, you want to make sure that Americans get jobs and bring jobs back? Great, you first.
Yeah, look, this isn't a gotcha story or we told you so story. This is just information so people make a smarter decision moving forward. Because a lot of people knew that they were a scam. A lot of people knew that they were lying, but they just refused. Some people just refused to believe the actual facts that were right in front of everyone, right? So now we know. Now we have hardcore evidence that she doesn't care about the workers. She doesn't care if you're a woman or a man. She doesn't care about your family. She doesn't care about giving you, ensuring that people that are employed under her, you know, umbrella are getting paid for leave so they can take care of their families, right? She doesn't care about any of that. So just don't get fooled, okay? Fool me once, shame on me.
You.
Fool me twice, yeah, I can't get fooled again. Anyway.
I love that old Bush quote.
Yeah.
Okay, you know that Young Turks audience has been more of job creators in America than Ivanka Trump? Mm-hmm. So far through tytnetwork.com/go, that's our fundraising drive to hire more journalists. We've hired 11 people.
Right.
And guess where they are? In America. So, Ivanka, what's up? Right? You got all your jobs in China. We got all our jobs here in America. Turns out, if you want a real job creators, you turn to progressives. Okay.
All right. We can do the rest tomorrow, so we can move on.
That's it? We're done?
Let's wrap it up.
Man, she's in a mood today.
I'm in a mood today. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, a couple of things, guys. Number one, I'm going to DC this weekend. So we're going to be at the climate rally. If you're going to be there, come march with us. Most of our guys are going to be there, our reporters, our contributors, Sirota, Radigan, Jordan Cheriton, and Nomiki. I don't know if they're going to be at all the events, but they're going to be at these events that I'm talking about here. Okay. So the climate rally, and then most importantly, I'm going to give a speech on Sunday on what the real resistance is. I want that place packed if you can. It's going to be super fun. Mm-hmm. So you sign up at tytnetwork.com/resistance. tytnetwork.com/resistance so that we can tell you exactly where it is. I know for the Sunday rally where I'm giving the speech on the resistance, that's at Bus Boys and Poets, 5th and K, and it's at noon. Okay, so come with us, and I can't wait to give that fiery speech and to have you guys there with us. When you sign up for that, we send you clear directions on where to show up and when to show up through your text or through email. Okay. And one last time now, let me check on our drive here, because there's only a couple of days left here at tytnetwork.com/go. Let me see, give you an update on donors before we leave. Okay, 1-773-890. We got $40 from East Coast in Florida, $50 from Ernest in Kentucky, much love Ernest, $127 from Meg in New Hampshire, much love to all of you guys, $190 from Michael in Minnesota, and $500 from Matt in Minnesota. So guys, remember, $127, you get the free House TYT t-shirt, $270, you get the t-shirt plus a thumb drive of the soundboard, all the effects on the soundboard. Let's play a random one.
Thanks a lot, bitch.
That's a fun one. Okay, anyway, and $1,000 gets you one of the very few TYT rings in existence. Mm-hmm. And $5,000, this happened twice last night, gets you one of the cameras or the chairs here that we use. $10,000 gets you the control room named after you, where Jesus, Bart, and all the guys are, and Jacori, etc. $10,000 gets the downstairs conference room or my room upstairs. I know it's a ton of money, but it's going to a great cause. It's going straight to hiring those reporters and making their work possible. And we need watchdogs more than ever now. So let's go do that. And finally, the member shout-outs for today is Vladimir Zarek and Mercedes Burton. So thank you guys, and we will be doing a post game and a TYT classic today for the members. All of you guys, the members gets extra content. That's tytnetwork.com/join. Thank you. Bye-bye.